We're going to be in the book of Romans. Yeah. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We got a cheer section back there. So I'm going to read them 5 verses, and then we'll open in prayer and we'll get started in the message tonight. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him also we have access to faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in the tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in all our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us."
God is good.
All right, bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. It's a gorgeous day every day. It's great to be out into your creation and looking around, Lord, and realizing where all that came from. Be with all of us tonight, Lord, as we get into your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and help to explain what we're going to talk about tonight, Lord. Be with those who could not be here, Lord, for whatever reason. Lift them up, comfort them, heal them if that's what they need, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The title of this is Faith Triumphs Over Trouble. That's what these 5 sections are talking about. So in verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we know everything that we receive from God, we have to go through Jesus to get to God. So this starts out with the word therefore. This is Paul connecting a present argument with what was already been said in the previous chapters. In Romans chapter 4, Paul discusses the faith of Abraham and how righteousness was credited to him. This sets the stage for the implications of justification by faith for all believers. Everybody understand that? Okay. In chapter 3 and 4 of Romans, the Apostle Paul established that as believers, we have been justified by faith. And because our justification by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a peace that a lot of people wish they had. Many of our blessings must await our resurrection and glorification. But peace with God is established the moment that we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody notice that when you gave your life to the Lord, how things instantly changed in your life? Go ahead, Curtis.
John 3:36 says, "He that believeth in God, he that believeth, but the wrath of God abides on him. Off,
yes.
We have peace, not wrath."
That's correct. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
So peace with God through Jesus Christ is what we have that non-believers want. Only problem is the unbelievers look for the peace that we have but do not seek the peace giver. Therefore, all of their peace and joy is temporary. Very short-lived. As we all know, God's peace and love are two things we receive as soon as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We all need to take time and reflect on that peace and love that we have in us, and thanks to our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we have been saved by His life." So most unsaved people, the non-believers, do not consider themselves enemies of God. Just because of no feelings of hatred for Him, they do not actively oppose His work or contradict His word. They consider themselves to be neutral about God. The problem with that is that there's no such neutrality. There's no such thing as being neutral. You're in or you're out. The peace of the unsaved person is peace of the flesh. How does that please God? It doesn't. So having peace in the flesh proves that there is no neutrality, but by definition is hostile towards God and cannot be otherwise. We are told this in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Everybody understand that? Good. Awareness of our peace with God through Jesus Christ is meant to give us far more than feelings of gratitude and warmth. Not that those things aren't wonderful, because they are. We're getting into that time of year. We're sitting on a couch with a nice cup of hot chocolate, a warm blanket, and a Bible to read is a perfect situation. If you think about it, it does seem kind of like a good idea, doesn't it? I've done all that except without the blanket. But anyhow, the peace that a believer has is in his knowledge, or in the knowledge that he is secure in Christ forever. Forever. Forever is a long time. No end. This not only strengthens faith, but also strengthens his service. Because Christians have their feet shod with the gospel of peace, they have the confidence to stand firm for Christ without uncertainty about salvation. We know that God is on our side. And we need to call on Him. He's on our side. That goes a long way. Any comments or questions? Okay, verse 2. "Through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So we can look at these things like a chain that eternally binds us to Christ. The first link would be that what we just talked about. And that would be our peace with God. Now we're going to talk about the second link of that chain. And just for your information, this chain we're talking about is an unbreakable chain that bonds us to God. It's unbreakable. I don't know anywhere else there would be an unbreakable chain. The second link is standing in God's grace. This verse starts out with, "Through whom also we have access by faith into His grace." The whom that Paul is talking about is Jesus Christ. It's because of our reconciliation to God, the Father, through our trust in His Son, that we have access by faith into grace. Again, through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18, it says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." And Ephesians 3:11 and 12, "According to the eternal purpose which He has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." So on the basis of faith in Him, Jesus Christ brings believers into His grace, in which we stand. Believers will often fall into sin. It's not uncommon at all. Matter of fact, it's probably definitely going to happen. So believers will often fall into sin, but their sin is not more powerful than God's grace. I'm going to say that one more time. Our sin is not more powerful than God's grace. The sins we're talking about are the very sins that Jesus paid the penalty for. Jesus took care of all that for us. If no sin that a person commits before salvation is too great for Christ atoning death to cover, let me start that over again. If no sin that a person commits before salvation is too great for Christ atoning death to cover, surely there's no sin that is committed after salvation that is too great to be covered either. Everybody understand? Good. So now the third link in this unbreakable chain. The third link in this unbreakable chain binding us to God is to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope that we have. Since every aspect of what we have talked about so far is solely the work of God. Everything. Salvation cannot possibly be lost. And I'll say that again. Salvation cannot possibly be lost. It's impossible. Our walk might need some work, but our salvation cannot be lost. At the end of the divine work of God, it is the ultimate glorification of every believer in Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. So as the Apostle Paul has already established, salvation is anchored in the past because Christ has made peace with God. I'm going to say that again because that's not where the sentence ended. All right, so as the Apostle Paul already established, the salvation is anchored in the past because Christ has already made peace with God available to all that trust in Him. Right. Curtis.
And God is a God. You're not going to lose salvation.
No. Nope, we're not. So salvation is also anchored in the present by Christ's continual intercession for so every believer now stands securely in God's grace. Does everybody understand what that means? It's for Jesus being the go-between. Because of Jesus, we have that relationship with God.
Yeah, his atoning power doesn't stop just because.
Correct. Christ's continual intercession is Christ going to the Father on our behalf. That is the reason that when we pray to God, that we end our prayer with, in Jesus' name, amen. We go through Jesus. Jesus always said, ask and you shall receive. But we have to ask Him. The only way to the Father is through the Son. In Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Any questions? Okay. Verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. That's verses 3 and 4. The writer of Hebrews declares that Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. If we hold fast our confidence and boost of our hope firm until the end. That's in Hebrews 3, 5 to 6. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So we are Christ's house.
What's the hope we're holding on to?
Glory. Amen. Glory. Without a doubt. And how do we get that hope?
Glory.
Right. Faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse says that we also glory in tribulations. In biblical context, tribulation or suffering is seen as a tool for spiritual growth. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And we all need more patience. I will say that myself included. So it is the trials and tribulation that cause a believer to suffer. But that suffering will produce perseverance. Perseverance in the Christian life is also often seen as the process of enduring trials and tribulations with faith. With faith. Testing of faith produces perseverance, leading to maturity and completeness. What do we have faith for? We have faith that Jesus will take care of our trials and tribulations for us if we give them to Him. Character, once developed through perseverance, leads to hope. In Romans 8, 24 to 25, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. The hope is anchored in the resurrection of Jesus, which is the foundation of the Christian faith and the guarantee of eternal life. Everybody understand? Good. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There's the proof right there. You cannot lose your salvation. It's preserved and reserved in heaven for you. Yeah, reservation. We all have a reservation. And you don't even have to have a written reservation. You just show up. Trials are not merely obstacles, but opportunities for growth. And you know, if you look at that way, they're not that difficult to handle. Right away, when we are faced with a trial or tribulation or any kind of suffering, we go negative. We can't do that. We got to stay positive and give it to the Lord. The first thing we should do is pray and ask Jesus for help. And we will get that help. So trials are not merely obstacles, but opportunities for growth. They develop perseverance, which in turn refines our character. True character is revealed and strengthened through challenges. Do we not face challenges all the time?
Every day.
And how do we get through most of those challenges? That's right. With Jesus' help, with the Holy Spirit helping us. Our hope is rooted in the promises of God. It is a confident expectation that sustains us through life's difficulties. We think we got it bad, but hey, I'm going to have it great when I get to heaven. This is nothing, you know. We got it made. It's worth dealing with a little bit of that to get to heaven. We must live with an eternal perspective, focusing on God's ultimate plan. Romans 8:28 says, oh, hi, Crystal. I didn't see you sneak in. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Any comments or questions? Right.
So you are growing by that process.
Right.
Now, once you pick up a hot coal, you know not to pick it up again. Right?
That's right.
Okay. So it's the same thing. Given a situation and you experience a negative result, you know you don't. I'll avoid that from now.
That's right.
So the Lord, yes, the Lord, that knowledge. So then all things begin working for your benefit because right. You're gaining knowledge and the experience that's provided for you.
That's right.
We call those things trials and tribulations.
Go ahead, Curtis.
But we joy in tribulation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because they know what's ours to save inside.
Correct.
Otherwise, they'd say, oh, no, instead of not only.
That's right.
You have to view it with the right mindset.
Right.
And sometimes it takes experiencing it.
Right.
That's okay. Don't give up.
That's right. By experiencing different situations, it gives you the patience. It's just like you get a flat tire. You got to stop and change the tire. What do? Yeah. Most people, believers and unbelievers, will not be very happy about having to stop and change the tire. But when you realize that it's inevitable, you're going to have to change the tire. You have to accept that patience, ask God for His help, and just change the tire. And when you're done, you'll be like, well, that wasn't that bad. You know, why am I fussing over it? Or many different things. You know, you get tested every day, and our patience shows whether or not we have learned anything. And if you haven't, and you realize that, you need to learn something. You need to ask God and the Holy Spirit for their help in discerning that. I mean, I was on the road a lot pulling trailers. I got flat tires all the time. Didn't bother me. Not after I started coming to church and started learning a little bit. You know, I might have cussed a little bit about it. But after that, no. Just find a good lit up spot to stop. Get out. Change a tire. Keep on going. You know, you sit and you fret about it. You can stomp your feet and walk around. Now you've been done killed 15 minutes. You could have had tire changed already. Back on your way. So I don't stop my feet too hard because it hurts the knees, so I'm not going to be that example. All right, any other comments on that? Go ahead. Sure.
I have found that my trials in my lifetime have enabled me to witness to other people. There's like when I was in the hospital multiple times, every time when I would meet somebody that needed to either hear something.
That's right. That's right. Curtis? Yeah, we're getting there. That's right.
You're not ashamed to tell people about Jesus.
That's right. God puts us in places in our lives for a reason, just as Dottie was talking about. That's what she was put in a place where she was needed. She didn't know she was put there for that reason, but it was made aware of that. She was made aware of that when the time came. And then I'm sure when she left there, she said, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for putting me in that situation. There are situations that might make you uncomfortable, but after it's all said and done, you realize it really wasn't that bad. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me that. So, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives. So many times you'll get up and do something, you'll think, why am I doing this? And all of a sudden, something spiritual will happen, but now I know why I'm doing this. God had me up to do this. So, and that, I won't use it, I won't tell you what it was, but that happened to me this morning. Ironically, so anyway, well, I will tell it. All right. When Ryan played the last song this morning and Dan called people to come up, I just decided I'd get up and come over here and just stand. And then sure enough, one person came up, two people came up, and Dan prayed with one, I prayed with the other one. And so now I know why I got up and stood over there, because it was just meant to be. So, you know, it's just one of them things. And then I think about it afterwards. Now, why did I get up there? Obviously, I know why now, But I was wondering why I was standing there to begin with. Haven't done it like that before. So anyhow, you'd be surprised. Dan.
Why do you think the Billy Graham Crusades encourage and enlist people to go forward, aren't born again, they're saved, but they get them to, invitations given, go forward. And they all get up and they start going forward. Well, why do they do that? Because it encourages other people who might not go to get up and go. Now they
right.
feel like, well, I'm not going to go. So they get up and they go.
Right.
Learn.
Sure. Right. I'm sure all of us have experienced something like that before as well. So verse number 5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So Christian hope is certain and reliable. In the biblical context, hope is not a mere wish, but a confident expectation based on God's promise. And we know God cannot lie. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Hope in Christ is not wishful thinking, but a confident expectation that will not disappoint because it's grounded in God's promises. The Holy Spirit is the means by which God's love is experienced and realized in our hearts, affirming our relationship with God. When you have that love in your heart, God's love in your heart, you know you have a relationship with God. And it's a love that you feel that you've never ever felt before. Sure, we've all been married or are married and we have that love, but this love is different. I'm not saying that you don't love your spouses, but this love is different. Believers are called to live in the reality of God's love, allowing it to transform their lives and relationships. Any comments? Everybody understand that? Curtis. Right.
It was impossible. I mean, if someone even looked at you the wrong way,
yep.
Oh,
that's right.
That's the way we were.
And you never let it go. You never let it go. No. That's right. As recipients of divine love, Christians are to reflect this love to others, becoming conduits of God's grace and compassion. Spreading God's grace and compassion. Faith, hope, and love. These three virtues are deeply intertwined, with love being the foundation that sustains faith and hope. Without love, without God's love, we don't have none of that. Paul is speaking of the believers, living hope, not the uncertain kind the world offers. The hope is anchored in the finished work of Christ and therefore does not disappoint. The hope that we get from the world and the flesh, the peace, the happiness, the joy, it's not real. It's not real. In our minds it's real, but it's not real. Because it's founded on God's promise, it cannot fail. Like I said earlier, He cannot lie. And He will not lie. In Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That was a long time ago. And that promise has stood strong all the way through. Any comments or questions? Curtis.
There's it's in Corinthians 1, but it is a person denying himself.
Right.
He's in us.
That's right. That's another thing we have. We have Jesus living in us, in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's enough right there to have hope and joy and peace. Everything's right there. The love, it's in us already. And we just have to go out and share it with other people. They're going to be able to see it anyway by our walk. And they're going to stand back and think, how come they're so happy? How come they got so much joy and peace in their life? They're not worried about nothing. Well, I wish they would ask, you know, at least if they come up, hey, how come? That would be great, wouldn't it? But it's hard for us sometimes to discern those people, pick them people out that we can go talk to. But it doesn't hurt to try. I mean, all you have to do is just walk by somebody, say, have a great day, God bless you. And you'd be surprised how many times they'll repeat, God bless you, back to you. You know, then you almost want to hit the brakes, turn around, start talking to them. But anyway, Dan.
There's a strategy in real estate sales that says the more contacts you make, the likelihood the more appointments you get. And the more appointments you get, the more contracts you'll sign. Just like the same thing.
Nothing different. Absolutely.
So
the fourth Saturday in January is a great place to make contacts, to talk to people at the yard sale and farmers market. We expect a lot of people to show up in January. The weather is going to be nice, beginning of a new year, and I think we're going to have a full house on the fourth Saturday of next month. So everybody should at least show up, be a part of it, witness it, experience it, and you'll see what I mean when you come and you talk to people. We get to talk to a lot of people, and a lot of them are receptive to talk, willing to talk, willing to hear what we got to say. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it, and I'm pretty sure most of you would also. Any other comments or questions before I close in prayer? Dan.
Yeah, how many people here, by show of hands, when you first rode a bicycle, the first time ever you got on a two-wheel bicycle, you just hopped right on there and took off? Then why do we expect it? If we're not doing it, why do we think we're going to talk to someone and bang, they're going to get, listen, we need to have the experience.
That's right.
And just know, yeah, you're going to get, you might have a hand pushed in your face, say, ah. But
we talked about the rich young ruler this morning in Bible study. Jesus talked to him. Did he do what Jesus told him to do? No, he did not. He didn't want to give up his wealth. He didn't want to give up none of that stuff and give it to the poor and follow Jesus. That's what he told him. Did he do it? No. Did Jesus sit there and fret about it? No. Next, go on to the next one. That's just it. That's what we need to do. We need to talk to people, and if they reject us, politely dismiss yourself and go on to the next one. It's not something we have to get upset about. Go ahead, Dan.
So this passage lends itself right to that. Most people see witnessing as a tribulation. I run into trouble if I start doing that. Okay, but what does it say? Tribulation produces perseverance.
That's right.
The more you do it, the more comfortable you get, and the more you'll keep doing it. Right?
That's right.
Perseverance develops character. You'll pretty soon want to do it. You'll feel bad if you don't get out there and do it. So you want to do it, right? Perseverance, that character, it leads to hope. What is hope?
What does hope realize?
What does hope realize? It's reality.
Yeah.
It's reality. You're hoping for something. When you finally get it, it's reality. So you got to be hoping for the right thing if you follow this process.
You never know until you try. The first time I got up and stood up here on praise night, I was up here for about 5 minutes. That's it. Just 5 minutes. And then it eventually got a little longer and a little longer. And now I've only got 30 more minutes before we're done. So, yeah. No, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I know we all need to get out of here before it gets dark. But no, it's just perseverance. I mean, I felt it in my heart. This is what I wanted to do. And I know it's not, I shouldn't say it's something I want to do. I do enjoy doing it, but I believe it's something that God wanted me to do. So I'm up here, and not only am I helping, I hope everybody here, but I'm also teaching myself at the same time. Best way to learn is to teach it. So study the Word, and if you have a friend that needs help, teach them, and by teaching them, you will benefit just as much as they do. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank everybody. We thank you for everybody that came here tonight and heard your word. Please be with all of them on their ride home tonight, Lord. Travel mercy to them. Help them to get home safe and sound before it gets dark. Lord, we just can't thank you enough for all that you do for us, everything that you have provided for us, the privilege it is for us to be able to sit here and worship you, Lord. We want to thank you again for everything. Be with those who could not be here tonight, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.